Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Table Manners. I'm Jessie Ware and I'm here with my mum, and we've put the ring light back on, haven't we?
Yeah, but my hair looked better without my earphones on. I think I need like a beehive behind my earphones. I like height,
what,
Jessie.
Like Dusty Springfield?
Yeah, it's flattening my hair down too much.
I don't think this guest is going to mind. Seeing as he doesn't usually look at the people's voices that he's... Do you like little segue? We've got Will I Am. We tried to get him for a very long time.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I'm very confused that the biggest tech man that we know will only let us use Zoom recording. So apologies in advance if the sound quality is a little shit. Anyway, so yes, we have Will I Am, producer, artist, tech giant,
voice coach.
Judge.
Voice coach. Darling.
Voice coach, sorry. They don't judge in the voice, no. Do they? I've seen you quite a lot, Mum.
No, you haven't.
Well, you kindly had my children for the night. And
yep.
And my son
woke
you up.
3 o'clock interlude to go for a wee-wee, number one child. Number two child wakes at 5:30 because he could hear the birdies singing, to ask me if the birdies had teeth. And would they fall out of the tree?
I think this is rather advanced for a two-year-old to be discussing about whether...
But do birdies have teeth? Birds.
Or do they just have beaks? This is the discussion that my two-year-old and my mum were having at 5 a.m.
I said,
on Sunday.
I don't think they do have teeth. I think they've got beaks.
Oh, Mum, also you'll be really proud to know that my son is now in nursery saying, come on, darling, to everyone. So we know who to thank for that. Come on, darling. Thank you for that added vocabulary to my son's repertoire. I want to give a shout out to, I'm so happy that they are now doing South London takeaways. So when I lived in East London, there was this really great initiative that had just started called Dabba Drop, and they're a sustainable takeaway Indian curry. It comes in a tiffin tin, so there's no plastic. So you get it in, like, you get four different things in your tiffin tin. A man or a woman come on a bicycle and they deliver it, and it's in a lovely kind of fabric, basically plastic-free, sustainable takeaway. Really delicious curry.
Why did you get it and not me?
The food was amazing. They're a really brilliant organisation set up by two women. And I'm just really happy that they're in South London. So South Londoners, East Londoners, maybe you already know about it, Dabba Drop. And you have the subscription, so you can kind of get it
How
fortnightly.
How do you spell it?
Gabba but Dabba. I don't know, like, or I was Jabba. About to do Gabba music.
Jabba no. Wocky.
Or Jabba, yes, yeah. A Dabba. And then Drop. Anyway, that is my little tip for you guys.
Yep.
So Will I Am is coming on Table Manners. We can talk the voice.
I definitely am talking the voice.
And we can also talk about his new single.
And his philanthropy.
We can talk about it all.
Yeah.
His new single is called Shake Your Boom Boom, and Mum really quite likes it.
Didn't he have a boom boom shake the room?
Yeah, boom boom pow. He likes boom boom. He likes a little bit of boom boom, Will I Am.
Willing to booms, isn't he?
Loves a boom or two. Maybe we can discuss
his booming.
His most heavily used word is boom. Will I Am coming up on Table Manners.
Hello, guys.
Hi, sorry. Will.
How's everyone?
How are you, Will?
I'm super.
Have you got your juice?
Oh, Sally told you that I don't eat on Mondays.
You don't eat on Mondays?
Wow.
No, she didn't tell us this.
Yeah.
No.
I don't chew food on Mondays.
Are you hangry?
No, actually, I do. It's pretty... So here's my routine for the past... how long has it been? Since Right after Christmas.
Yeah.
I have my pancakes and my vegan burgers on Fridays.
Lovely.
And Saturdays and Sundays, I go solid. So first on Fridays, I start with like salads in the day and then avocado. So I cut my avocado. Hold on, let me show you. So, you know, most people like cut their avocados this way.
Yeah.
I cut my avocado this way.
Why?
That way I could use it as a cup. So then I take all the avocado, like the chunk out, and then I mix it with the lime.
Yeah.
And then I put a little freaking Himalaya sea salt, and then I chop up some jalapenos in it, and then I put it back into the avocado, 2 half cups, and then I scoop it out like that.
So it's kind of like an avocado slush puppy.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And then I put my soy sauce in it. That's my avocado's like devil's egg. Like, you know, a devil's egg, you use the inside of an egg and you put it all back inside the egg.
Yeah, we do.
So same thing here with my avocado. So that's what I eat on Fridays, the first salad that I eat. And then on Mondays, I have like my vegan pancake. And then on Sunday, and then at night, I have like a vegan burger. And then on Sundays, I go really rambunctious on like my vegan salads with pastas and stuff like that. And Sundays is my like carb day, heavy carb day. And then on Monday, I juice. Tuesday, I juice. Wednesday, I juice with a salad. Thursday, juice with a salad. Friday, juice my avocado. And that repeat.
You're going to disappear, Will.
No, here's why. Because the body, it stores fat areas. And so
I know.
And so how do you tell your body to start utilizing the energy that it's been storing? And then by April, I'll go back to like a more like chewing throughout the week regimen.
So this is a regular kind of a ritual for you that you do every year, that kind of January to
sounds like
April.
A lockdown thing. Because it'd be harder to do out of lockdown.
No, you take your little bag of juice. Like, you know, like when we were in elementary school, some people went to school with like a lunch bag.
Oh, yeah.
So you go out in the world and you have like your 8 juices. I have a juice every other hour. And I'm full of energy. I'm getting all my supplements that I need. I'm getting all my vitamins that I need. My skin is extra like, what?
You look gorgeous.
You look glowy.
You look very handsome.
This is not, this ain't a filter, child. Look at that.
You do look great. But so what are you missing? If maybe you're not, maybe you're feeling completely okay with a lot of juice.
I think he's in the zone, Jess.
I feel like you're in the zone and I'm slightly jealous about you being the zone when I've just had loads of pasta for dinner.
For example, today I had nothing but juice, didn't chew anything solid. I did my pull-ups, 4 sets of pull-ups. Then I did my bench presses. Then I did my push-ups. Then I did my run up a hill. And then I ran. Then I walked from the London Eye to the pyramid and back. That's a 6-mile walk.
The pyramid? Which pyramid,
the pyramid is that?
The
Shard.
Yeah.
Okay.
I walked from the London Eye to the Shard on a Zoom call, which is like 2 hours, and set 6 miles. All on juice.
You're getting your steps in.
I got energy.
Yeah.
I'm not like tired, like, come later. Like, I'm like, let's go. What are we doing next?
I would definitely be in a coma if I was on a juice diet.
But you've never tried a juice diet.
No, I haven't done. You haven't. That's to be fair.
So I would say liquitarian.
I've never had that. I like it.
Wow.
It's got a little certain je ne sais quoi. I like that.
Yeah, I'm about wine.
I'm a liquitarian.
But okay, so Will, we haven't really introduced ourselves. I'm Jessie and this is Lenny, and we know who
you are. Hi Lenny, hi Jessie.
Hi darling.
And we've got you after probably quite a full day of promo. You're thick in, you know, the voice, and Mum wants to discuss this with you. You know, you're promoting your new record, Shake Your Boom Boom. Mum says, hasn't he got another song called Boom Boom? I said, well, that's Boom Boom Power, Black Eyed Peas. But how are you finding London? Do you like it here? Because you seem to come back for more.
He's
like every
here.
Year, and we appreciate it because we love you as a coach.
I love the UK. Yesterday, I walked from the London Eye to the end of Hyde Park.
Oh, wow.
And back down to the London Eye. That was 10 miles because I wanted to go through all the parks. Like, so that took about 3-hour walk. And so just walking through London, there's nobody on the streets, is a very eerie feeling.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's golden hour. There's no cars out on some streets, no one walking on some streets. And that that's like a sad and a proud feeling at the same time. I'm sad, like, oh my gosh, this looks scary. But then I'm proud, like, wow, everybody's behaving. It's going to be an awesome memory for the folks that get through it. And it's going to be hard. It's heartbreaking for the folks that we've lost. I've lost friends and family. It's been tough. But, you know, when you see people out there, when you don't see people on the streets, it's sad, scary. But then at the same time, you're like, wow, people are doing their part and staying indoors. This is going down in the memory books.
Yeah.
We need to know about you growing up and what you were eating around the dinner table. This is what we ask all our guests. So set the scene. Who was cooking the meal and who was around that dinner table and what were you eating?
My mom cooked the meals. We ate spaghetti. That was like my mom's favorite.
Wow. What sort?
Spaghetti bolognese with like ground turkey, because my mom didn't like the idea of eating beef. So my mom made spaghetti bolognese a lot. That was like, you know, she was super happy when that's what we were eating for dinner.
Did you like it?
Yeah. It was that's like one of my mom's favorites that I love. My mom's goulash.
Mm.
Yeah. So my mom made goulash. That was delish. My mom's pancakes. Oh, my Lord Jesus. And they're crispy. Just the right amount of crisp on the edges. Like, get out of here. That's happy moment for me.
How did she make them? Like, what was her trick? Was it just like the right oil that she used? Or what was like, is there something in it that we should all be doing?
I don't know. But I try to do my vegan version of it. It doesn't turn out right. But I like my vegan pancake that I make. But we weren't vegan growing up. I've been vegan for 4 years now. So growing up, what else did my mom make that was delicious? Oh, Thanksgiving dinner was like, oh.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Like, her turkey was amazing. Her ham was awesome. Her stuffing was, get out of here. My mom's freaking, what else did she make that was delicious? Macaroni and cheese, what?
So she was a good cook. Yeah.
Yeah, I love cooking. Yo.
Do you?
What I made last night? What?
Okay, come on then.
Last night I made a pankizza.
Okay.
A pancake pizza.
No, I got it, Mom. Okay. I need to know what the vegan, I need to know this.
So I was like, I don't have pizza dough. I was like, what if I make a pancake, but instead of putting, you know, sweet stuff in the batter, like cinnamon and a little bit of brown sugar and a banana to give me the thickness because I don't have an egg. Why don't I make the pancake, but put olives in it and some jalapenos in it, and a little bit of garlic in it, and blend it up really nice, put that and cook the pancake, make it really thin, and then put like marinara sauce, and then my grounded impossible meat, and then my vegan mozzarella, and then bake that, and then automatically the pancake is gonna turn a little bit more crisp. Yeah. And then I put some basil on. Like, yo, my pankizza, get out of here. I named it. I was like, yo, this is a pankizza. My pankizza was the bomb.
So this is the next endeavor for you. Like, forget tech, forget philanthropic thing. This is pankizza is going to come to everybody like in a year or two.
No. That's just
vegan pankizza.
This is for me to like, for my friends and family, like, yo, check out my pankizza. Have you ever had a pankizza? My pankizza was the bomb. Okay, what else did I make the other day? I did a quesadilla with my impossible.
I love that.
But here, check out how I did it, though. I got my flour tortilla. I made my my impossible meat with the green onions and then green bell peppers. I kept it really greeny. And then my cilantro. And then a little bit of freaking cheese in the inside. And then I baked it. So the cheese melts in the inside. And then I put a bunch of like mozzarella and cheddar cheese. And then I put some, hold up. Then I put some Nando's lime sauce in a cup. Put that in. And I mixed it. And I put the cheese and the Nando chili sauce in the microwave. I melted it. And then smother the freaking quesadilla with that. And then
sounds
I put
filthy.
Yo. It was like thebomb.org. Because I organized the whole thing. It was so fresh.
No, but it's funny because like the way that you're talking, that like, obviously you're doing love the juicing food. and you were talking about, you know, your the avocado.
That's my
and,
weekends. That's my
but,
weekends.
But it's like you, when you cook with your, it's you, you like the Impossible meat. Like I had a Beyond Burger the other day. It was bloody great.
Yeah.
It was so good. So when you became a vegan, it wasn't like you went off the taste of meat, I'm presuming, or maybe it was, because you're still kind of trying to get that kind of texture in there with the mince meat, the vegan meat. But why did you become a vegan 4 years ago?
Okay, so I had high cholesterol. So first I got sick 4 years ago. I had like this cough that I couldn't beat. And so I went to the doctor and they took my blood. They took my blood pressure. And they told me that I had high blood pressure and high cholesterol. And they wanted to give me a pill. And I knew what pill it was because my uncle's on that pill. I was like, yo, that's some like old people stuff. Like, why you want me to take this freaking high cholesterol pill? They're like, well, because it runs in your family. And, you know, this will help you get your cholesterol in order and bring your high blood pressure down. So I was like, wait, well, how about if I get my cholesterol in order based off of what I eat? And if that doesn't work, then I take the pill. He was like, yeah, I'll see you in a month. I'll give you a month's time, but you really should really think about getting your cholesterol down and your high blood pressure down. I was like, okay, I'll come back in a month. I came back in 3 weeks because a cough went away right when I went vegan. 3 weeks, I stopped like the bagged processed food. I stopped the freaking like high glucose sugar stuff that was causing the freaking post-nasal drip and inflammation in my body. Went back to the doctor. They're like, what did you take any medicine? I was like, no, I didn't take any medicine. I started eating more vegetables and I got rid of eating all that fast food stuff. And then from then on, I'm like, I never want to chew animal flesh. I never want to freaking like, the idea of just like drinking a cow's like udder is utterly gross.
But like before you became a vegan, were you drinking a cow's udder? And you
cheese.
Were like, but were you quite like, were you quite?
Yeah.
You
yeah.
were like a like, big dairy bloke. Like, were you kind of?
No, because I'm lactose. So
okay.
Milk, it was easy for me to kick milk, but I love cheese.
Yeah.
For some reason, like I was lactose intolerant, but I could eat cheese and pizza. And like, I love artichoke pizza. Now I know how to make it with cashew milk, or I know how to make it with almond milk. With almond cheese and cashew cheese. But yeah, we are so like conditioned to where, you know, plant-based is like, well, how are you going to get your protein? Like, well, why don't you ask the gorilla over there where he gets his protein from, and ask that rhinoceros and then ask that elephant, because they're eating grass. A cow's eating nothing but grass. And then we then eat the cow. Like, yo, why can't we just do what the cow does and have awesome food that's plant-based? Because technology and science has made it to where you can have awesome food that's plant-based, because the stuff that you like from the foods is not the meat itself, it's the seasoning. Mm. Like, what makes you say, this is delicious is how it's cooked. It's the smoke, it's the spice, it's everything else but that cow flesh. It's everything else but that chicken body part. You can have awesome food that's plant-based.
I want to know where do you like to go for awesome plant-based food in London? Is there any spots that you found that you like?
I want to know where he goes shopping.
Unfortunately, London is not like LA.
No, yeah.
When it comes to like awesome plant-based stuff, which means there's a huge opportunity for awesome like plant-based meals. Neat burger is pretty cool, but the UK's interpretation of like plant-based is like vegan burger.
Mm. Yeah, we're kind of a like, bit slower on the uptake, I feel.
It's like, yo, you got any vegan food? How about a vegan burger?
Well, I have a really, do you like Mexican food?
Yo, okay. I made an awesome freaking burrito the other day and vegan tacos. I know how to make awesome vegan enchiladas. Mexico has awesome vegan food because a lot of Mexican dishes, if you get rid of the beef and the fish and the chicken, they use a lot of like plant-based ingredients in their dishes.
Well, there's two places that I'd like to recommend to you whilst you're in Old Blighty. There's an amazing restaurant that is closed at the moment because actually I think he's stuck in Tulum, but he's an amazing Mexican chef called Santiago Lastra. And he used to work for, he opened Noma Mexico, but yeah, he's done his own Mexican place and it's in central London. He's really amazing, but he does really great plant-based food. Also, there's an amazing, if you like walking and you're walking along the river, Borough Market, I don't know if you've been there for food yet or not.
It's right by the Shard.
Yeah. I saw that today. It's like outdoor market and it's like partially outdoor, indoor.
Yeah. So it's amazing. And there's this place called Tacos Padre, which do a great margarita, but also they do these really good cauliflower, like cauliflower pastor ones. And I feel like you'd really like them. So I feel like you should go to Borough Market on one of your walks and just like go to some of the stalls because there's some really good plant-based stuff there.
I do on the weekends.
Yeah. Well, hey, how is like the recording of The Voice going? Is it, it's live, right?
So we go live next weekend. And, everything else has been taped. Recording The Voice has been awesome. They do a really good job with the social distancing. They do a really good job with making sure everyone is, you know, the spirits are up. And yeah, it's really awesome.
One of my favorite Voice memories is when Becky Hill was on it. Do you remember when Becky
Hill
was on it?
She's a thing right now. Becky Hill has a career.
She's done really well. Yeah. Like, she's doing great.
She's like one of the only singers that has a career post The Voice.
Why? What happens?
Yeah, what's that about? Why do you think it doesn't connect in the same way?
Then Lucy, the opera singer that I had, I think season 4, Lucy has a career and a successful one in opera. And I think the reason why is very few contestants have realized that what The Voice is actually for, or singing competitions as a whole. So if I were to say like, yo, name the most successful singer in the history of singing competitions that has a career that reached the highest levels.
Who is it?
That will be Jennifer Hudson.
Jennifer Hudson, yes.
Jennifer Hudson.
And the other one,
Fantasia.
Fantasia, she won the American Idol, but Jennifer Hudson lost that same year. I think it's the same year. And went off to win a BAFTA, an Emmy, a Grammy, Oscar, a Tony.
Is she an EGOT?
No, she's not an EGOT because I think she won a Tony.
Maybe she hasn't got an Emmy.
Yeah.
She's doing all right.
She's J-Hud.
Yeah.
and she lost. And what was it that went from a loop where she lost, but then realized like there are other paths? And Becky Hill is one of those singers. Like, she lost. She didn't go through to the final. She didn't win. Mm. But she's winning because she's found other paths, and that was just a catapult or a trampoline for her career. While other singers are waiting for the show or someone to usher them into successdom.
But so do you think it's a slight curse if you do win?
I think it's a curse for you to think that by doing the show that doors are going to open for you. First off, the doors are supposed to be kicked down. There is no politeness to becoming successful. You gotta freaking kick the door down. There's no like, excuse me, I'm talented. It's like, open this mother door right now. Oh, really? Bam. That is like success. And every single person that has success will tell you they had to scream and knock the door down. They had to freaking break the window. They had to go through it. Ain't no polite.
I don't know. Well, but then maybe my level of success is not what you're talking about. But I feel, I didn't shout the door down. I'm on my 4th record. Weirdly, having the podcast that we do has almost helped my music career because it's made me feel more creative and like that's art again, rather than just feeling like my bread and butter. And so this has like been amazing balancing. But for me, I feel like I was very lucky that I had maybe other people kicking the door down for me because I was quite self-deprecating and I didn't feel like I should be doing it and I was quite apologetic. But hey, maybe...
Yeah, that's what I mean. Whether it's you or someone in your camp, the door was kicked down.
It was my mother. She was the pushy Jewish mother.
Whoever it is in your world is kicking some doors down. There is no polite. There is no gentle in making sure the lane is open for you. Someone is doing it.
I wonder if British people are different.
I just feel like British people are too polite, aren't we? We're like, excuse me, don't worry about me. Sorry.
No, like... Somebody in the background is making sure that your lane is kept clear for you to walk down or drive down or however you want to navigate down that lane that has been open for you. It's too, there is not a shortage of singers. So when there's not a shortage and there's an abundance of people that are clamoring to have your spot, somebody has to clear the lane for you. And that's not a polite thing.
Yeah.
Did you bang the door down, Will?
Yeah.
No, I think I think he was very quiet and shy and retired.
No, I banged the door down because or networked properly because I'm an unlikely candidate. Like Black Eyed Peas at the time when we coming up, it was gangster rap. So how did we even fit into the roster on Ruthless Records, which is like the home of gangster rap? How do we get in there? And then when Eazy-E passed away, rest in peace, how do we end up at Interscope? And then from there, while we were at Interscope and everyone was saying that Black Eyed Peas is not going to sell records or make money or become profitable, how did we like keep that door, that lane open? It's networking. It's like relentless, like, you know, earning your keep and proving yourself and learning and collaborating. Yeah, you banging the door down and maneuvering over obstacles.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Have you got any really memorable food memories with Black Eyed Peas that you would be able to share?
Yeah, there's this lady by the name of Polly Anthony, rest in peace. She was the head of Sony Epic, and they offered us like $1 million back in 1997. And she took us out for Thai food, and we had a bidding war. All these labels wanted to sign us. And we went from like an offer of $15,000 in a month's time to $60,000 to a month and a half time to $400,000, our first record deal. And then Polly Anthony over Thai food offered us $1 million.
Wow.
And we were eating at this restaurant off of Wilshire. And I remember it. She was like, look, we really want Black Eyed Peas on Sony Epic. And I think you guys are a special group. And you guys are self-contained. You write your songs, produce your songs. Will, you know, we had this manager at the time named Jan Styles. And every meeting that we had, I was a part of the meeting. She's like, you have a business mind on your head and I want you on my label. And so then I was like, oh man, $1 million? Like, what the fuck? Oh shit, we about to be millionaires. and so then Jimmy Iovine calls us over for tea.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
He's okay. Like, so I hear you.
Explain who Jimmy is to my mum.
I know who he was. He was on American Idol, darling.
I love that. Your reference. Oh, I know. My God.
And he's married to a gorgeous woman. Who's he married to?
Liberty. But like, this is ridiculous. Yeah. He's also Liberty, one of the most important people, figures in the music industry. But anyway,
I didn't know it was that important.
Sorry, Will.
You know, Fleetwood Mac, right?
Yeah.
Right. And so he produced Fleetwood Mac.
Wow.
He also produced Stevie Nicks. He dated Stevie Nicks.
Tom Petty, he did. Well, and Heartbreakers.
Tom Petty. Stevie Nicks. Yeah. He did Bruce Springsteen, John Lennon. He's like an icon.
So he's a big deal.
Yeah.
Big deal.
And then he became an executive and, you know, the chairman visionary at Interscope Records. So in the late 90s, after he got wind that Polly Anthony offered us $1 million, he was like, so I hear you're going to sign with Polly Anthony at Sony. I was like, yeah. He was like, let me tell you something. a group like the Black Eyed Peas, to take a $1 million contract, do you understand the risks that you're putting on your career? If you don't sell records to recoup the $1 million, that'll be the last record you ever make. Because now you have a stain on your name. And it's a dangerous thing. You're basically betting on yourself to lose. So give me the money now. So if you sign to Interscope, no matter how many records you sell, or I mean, how many times the songs are played on the radio, you can always make records and release records at Interscope. And the deal that I'm offering you is still a lot of money, $400,000. I was like, oh shit, this guy, oof, this is a freaking awesome pitch. So we regrouped. That was over tea. And so we regrouped and I'm like, yo, let's go with Jimmy. They're like, Will, are you serious? Like, Polly's offering us $1 million. I was like, yeah, but.
But you have to pay that shit back.
It's a bank, right? Isn't it?
So I was like, yo, let's go with Jimmy. He said we could always make records no matter how many records we sell. So let's go with Jimmy. We were going to sign for $15,000 last month. So we did that. And that was the best decision of our lives. Because one, he became a friend and a family member. Like, that's like my confidant. That's my mentor. And after it all said and done, we did beats together. So I told Jimmy in 2006, like, yo, Jimmy, let's make our own hardware. 10 years later, let's make our own hardware. And we started Beats. I was a third.
I didn't know you were involved in Beats.
Yeah, I'll be rocking them Beats. That was the first Beats commercial.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Well, of course. Sorry. Sorry. Apologies.
No. My involvement, it doesn't. So my whole thing is, like, as a collaborator and a partner, whether people know on face value that my involvement is not as important as the ideas that I bring. Like, credit, schmet it. Like, who cares? Let's make it work. And the people, the principals know, right? So the public doesn't really matter. So we went off and did awesome stuff together. So then after it was all said and done, when Jimmy, like, retired from the music industry to focus on Beats, I remember when we sold Beats to Apple, Jimmy tells Tim Cook, he was like, you know, I'm just happy I was able to keep my promise to Will. I said, no matter how long, how many records, and look what we've done together, and look where we are now. We're at Apple. I cried when Jimmy told me that he said that to Tim Cook, and we were there at Apple for the announcement of the Beats into the Apple system. And then when we got dropped off at Interscope in 2019, they dropped the Black Eyed Peas. We got signed at Sylvia Roan at Epic. And so I went over Jimmy's house for lunch. And he was like, so what's going on with the Black Eyed Peas? I'm like, yo, Jimmy, we just got signed. We're about to get signed to Sony. He was like, have you signed the deal yet? I'm like, no. He was like, let me help you negotiate your contract. I was like, I would love that. He was like, wouldn't it be awesome? Why don't you ask them? Tell them you want the same deal that Polly offered you back in 1997. So it came full. Like, we could ask for anything. We've sold a lot of records. We have this huge cachet. He's like, look, don't take a big advance. Don't do that. Get a bigger back end. And wouldn't it be beautiful if you got the same amount that Polly Anthony, because that's where we were supposed to go to Epic anyway. That was our first deal. And now we're at Epic with our, you know, having the most success we've ever had, 4 number ones off of our new album Translation that came out in June. And we were at the label that gave us the biggest offer back in 1997. And that was the deal that we constructed with Sylvia. Like, what? How beautiful that full circle story is.
That's amazing. And I love that you and Jimmy, just like, he's helping you broker the deal. I needed you in my first fucking music signing deal. I needed you and Jimmy in my ear.
He's my mentor. That's like, I love Jimmy. We talked the other day while I was here in the UK. And it's always like, what's next? What's coming? Like, because in 2003, my manager, Seth, over lunch, is like, hey, Will, General Motors wants, they want Black Eyed Peas to play their corporate party. I don't know how you feel about playing corporate parties. It's pretty big. They're offering you a lot of money. I was like, well, how much is a lot of money? He was like, you know, to play an hour at the corporate gig in Orange County, it's like right down the freeway off the 5, they're going to pay you like $500K, and then they're going to give every Black Eyed Pea a car. I'm like, whoa, say that again.
Wow.
Like, yeah, they're going to give you Hummers, and then they're going to give you $500K to play their gig. So I was like, psh, sounds awesome.
Yeah. Sure.
So we did it. And then I watched this documentary called Who Killed the Electric Car? And that documentary shows that, like, at some point in time, General Motors had this car called the EV1. And the EV1, their strategic, like, the head of strategy says, if we continue to sell the EV1, it's going to potentially threaten our combustible engine business. So they pulled the EV1 from being sold. And their marketing campaign was to give the EV1 to celebrities like George Clooney, Angelina Jolie were all driving around Hollywood with this electric vehicle called EV1. So then people started ordering EV1s and then they pulled them. So then they gave Hummers away for free. And we were the group that they gave Hummers away for free. And so when I saw that documentary, I was like, oh man, we got duped. They used us to freaking sell, you know, gas guzzlers. And at the end of the documentary, there was this little car, this, and it was like, this is the future. And then my manager was like, yo, Will, do you see that documentary? I know, I found out the founder of that car that's at the end of that documentary. You want to take a trip to San Jose to meet them? I was like, yeah, I'd love to freaking go to San Jose. So I go to San Jose and then I meet the founder. I was like, yo, I want to invest in your company. So I sold my Hummer, use that money to invest in this company back in 2004. So I go back home. And I'm like, yo, Jimmy, I just invested. That was like my first investment in 2004. I just invested in this electric car company. He was like, that's great. Electric cars. I was like, yeah, I think it's going to be pretty freaking cool. Anyways, Tesla, before freaking Elon took it over from the original founders. So my investment is like when Elon was just an investor. It was before he took over the whole entire company. So that freaking whatever that was, like 80 grand, turned into like, what the what? So then Jimmy yesterday, he was like 2 days ago, what's next? I was like, yo, Jimmy, like electric bikes is next. Because now the world, we see the world, you see empty streets. You see people like are working from home. Do they need the car? How are they going to commute? Their electric bikes gives you, especially if they're pedal assist bikes, one pedal gives you, you know, three pedals. And there is no like dominant player in that space. Electric bikes.
Okay, that's really good to know. I like this. I like that you're passing this on. Now, back to Black Eyed Peas and this success with the last record. You're saying it's the most successful record
that we've had.
And like, why do you think that's happening? Like, what do you think? Do you think it's the union of you finally with Epic and like, or do you think it's like, what do you think, what happened? Do you think sometimes it's about serendipity and about the stars being aligned, or do you think this is your best music?
I think this is our most consistent body of work. Like the end was a very consistent body of work. It's like 128 BPMs to 130 BPMs. The whole entire record. And if there was a slower song, the songs have transitions. Like I'm a B has a transition where 2 minutes and 40 seconds into the song, there's like this transition with a like an orchestral, and it goes into like 130 BPM again. So the end was by far with I Got a Feeling and Boom Boom Pow, a super beyond success album. Took us to stadiums. And, you know, we played Super Bowls,
bar mitzvahs.
Stadiums, bar
many,
mitzvahs.
Many bar mitzvahs.
You know what I mean? L'chaim. You're playing like Muslim countries and people in the audience are saying Mazel Tov, like beautiful. You're going to Malaysia, like fill up my cup, Mazel Tov. Like, yo, do you understand a black, white, Latino and Filipino group is inspired Muslims to say Mazel Tov? Yo. You know, and especially in the first concert ever in Saudi Arabia, we sing I Got a Feeling, 40,000 people in the audience in Saudi Arabia sings Mazel Tov. Beautiful. But the album that we have now, the body of work Translation, after 8 year break, there's 8 years gone away. And now we're a trio. Hence the reason why the record company were like, Black Eyed Peas are not, let's take them off of our books. They're never going to have a return on our investment, them as a trio. So when I say success, it's successful because we've overcome all the odds. It's successful because we have four number ones, and in this new metric of like views on social media, or like on YouTube and Spotify, these songs are performing greater than I Got a Feelings and Where's the Loves. Like Ritmo has like 800 plus million views. We have way over a billion views just off of four songs, and it's outperforming our past work. And we're a trio on a new label, the label that offered us, you know, $1 million back in 1997. So yeah, this is the greatest success that we've had.
Well, congratulations. I mean, it is really interesting because you have so many strings to your bow, whether it's I Am Plus, I Am Media, doing The Voice, doing Black Eyed Peas, you know, producing for other artists. It's really investing in friggin' Tesla. Things.
Can I just ask, when you wrote Ordinary People, did you write it so John Legend would sing it?
No. So we wrote it. I was stressed out because Where's the Love was a hit. Where's the Love to Hey Mama, that Hey Mama became the iPod launch to launch iPods and iTunes. Let's Get It Started, NBA campaign to Shut Up. And then I had to make another record. So I called John Stevens at the time. Like, yo, John, bro, like, I'm fucking stressed. I got to make a hit on purpose now. I was like, yo, let's study. Let's have a session where we just study all of our favorite songs and figure out the math to why those songs are good, because it's all math. Like, let's think about it like science. Like, why is this song good? Like, what is the progression? How many other songs have this same progression? And let's look at, like, you know, the spacing between. So I just went in like a fucking scientist to break it down mathematically. So then he comes up with these chord progressions based off of like our breaking all our favorite songs down and seeing the similarity and commonality between the construct of our favorite songs. Whether it's freaking like I Come From the Land Down Under, whatever that progression is, or to like Bob Marley progression or Earth, Wind & Fire progression. There are certain types of progressions that move us magnetically. So we figured out this chord progression. And so at that point in time, I was going to like counseling every Thursday, relationship counseling. And so we started working on the song in Burbank after my relationship counseling. He's like, yo, what's going on? How was your counseling? And I was like, oh man, bro, like, it was tough. He's saying that it's thick and, you know, I'm dealing with like childhood, you know, abandonment issues and stuff like that, and trying to make my relationship work out. Like, and I don't know everything. She doesn't know everything. I don't know the answers. She doesn't know the answers. Like, we're just ordinary people, but we want to stay together, but we don't know which way to go. We're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, that's a lyric, right? Right. So then we're just ordinary people. We don't know which way to go. Like, yo, sing that over those chords. We're just ordinary people. Like, we don't know. And the way you sing it, say it the way you would say it. Like, we're just ordinary people. We don't know which way to go. Like, keep that same cadence, but now put a melody on the natural cadence of speech, right? So then after we come up with the hook, I was like, oh, we got it. Let's move on to the next song. We're just ordinary people. And my recipe is always repeat at the end. We don't know which way to go. We just repeat it. We don't know ordinary people. Maybe we should take it slow. Repeat again. Take it slow. Whoa, whoa, whoa. And my recipe for every song that works is that same repeat. Like, I got a feeling that tonight's going to be a good night. Repeat. That tonight's going to be a good repeat. And tonight's going to be a good, good night. Same blueprint. If you take, let's get it started. Let's get it started. Repeat. Let's get it started. Like, right? It's like if I look at my mind, I'm like, oh, I have a pattern of what works, but not towards a point where it's like, oh, there you go with that pattern again, right? If you can figure out a way to hide your pattern to where you don't notice it, but now that I've said it, now motherfuckers are gonna say, like, they're gonna know my fucking pattern. Don't put it on the internet, so.
But who did you write it for? Just for yourself to sing?
No, John Stevens, that's John Legend's name, isn't it?
Oh, I didn't know that's his name.
No, so we wrote it for the Black Eyed Peas. That was a Black Eyed Peas song. And then when we sung it, it just didn't sound right. So then we came to London that summer, and he's like, yo, what are you going to do with that song that we wrote in spring, I think it was spring. I was like, oh, we're not going to use that, bro. Like, we're not going to use that. But that was me trying to, like, desperate hunting for a hit, putting my laser to try to figure out. And it was indeed a hit, but for him. And not everything you do is for you. Just because you make it, just because, like, you did it, doesn't mean that piece of work is intended for you. And my contribution was just the chorus. The verses, that's John Magic. Girl, I'm in love with you. That's him. My part We Disordinary in collaboration with John, right? That's the magic that we did was the chorus, because in rap you have the chorus and then I do my verses, but it just with the beat that I had at the time and our approach, it was better off a piano ballad.
That is so fascinating. I'm in the studio tomorrow. I'm just going to remember
repeat to where it's not like nuisance. Repeat to where it's instructional and inspirational.
Okay.
Repeat to where it's like information and guidance. That's why you repeat, where it's disguised in a way where the listener is not bothered by it. But then you're going to be like, okay, so why you repeat boom, boom, boom so much? Like, wow. I remember one time we were in Japan, somebody comes up to me, like, right when we got off the freaking bullet train, they're like, Wita-chan, you say boom, boom 645 times. So I'm like, yo, you sat there and counted how many times I said boom.
Well, that's amazing. Now they can add Shake Your Boom Boom to it. So they're like, their mind's just going out of control
this
now.
This is a masterclass in songwriting, darling.
This is really, really. Will, before we like let you go, we ask every guest a few questions. One of which is your Last Supper. If you were to leave this earth tomorrow, or you were to go on a desert island tomorrow and you had one last meal, starter, main, dessert and drink of choice, what would it be?
Would it be still be plant-based, I'm wondering?
It's weekend, right?
Oh, yes.
Your last supper, yeah. You're not going to eat.
Forget about the bloody weekend. It's whatever you want.
On a desert island.
Okay. So what I would do is I'm not going to torture myself because I know I'm going to go to a place where I'm probably going to have, I look at it as like a detox. I'm doing 6 months detox.
Yeah.
So I'll do my weekend. It's just whatever day it is, I'm going to treat it like a weekend. I'm going to have my pancake in the morning, my vegan pancake.
Yeah.
I'm going to have my impossible vegan burger smothered with chili cheese with avocado in the middle of it. Yes. And that dinner. And I use like this bread, like this, like a wheat bread with seeds in it. It's delicious. And I toast it. It's nice. So then at dinner, so if I'm doing that for lunch, what am I going to do at dinner? So then I do like, and then I take my burrito, right?
Yeah.
So I do my vegan burrito. And then after I wrap it in flour, then I put it in a little tub of like olive oil. And then I fry the tortilla, make a chimichanga. So now it's a crispy burrito. So then I smother the crispy burrito with that salsa verde and mozzarella. Cheddar, zoom, and then it's like delish.
Given your health kick, do you drink alcohol, Will? Is this going to be washed down with a margarita?
I don't drink that much. I never was a heavy drinker. So if I'm going to drink, it's just like a shot of tequila and that's it.
Okay.
Or I'll do like I'll do a skinny bitch. And a skinny bitch is just like water and vodka. Yeah, with a little bit of lime.
Do you have good table manners, Will I Am?
Good table manners? You mean like, do I put my elbows on the table?
Well, I don't know. It depends what your definition of good table manners are.
Is it a posh definition? Because if that's the case, I don't have good table manners. My elbows is on the table. I'm probably picking up the wrong knife when the meal comes out, wrong fork. I use my spoon way too often on areas where I should be. Yeah, like no.
Will I Am, thank you so much for giving us this time and chatting to us and telling us your stories. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you, and congratulations on all the success. And your new single is out, Shake Your Boom Boom. And I feel like I don't say it sexy enough. Like I make it sound like
in a song.
But anyway, congrats on all your successes and just for being a very lovely, decent bloke who has lots of amazing stories to tell. Thank you for coming on Table Manners.
Oh, thank you guys so much. And it's, you know what's really awesome? You and your mom doing this is awesome.
Well, look, she's the star of the show. Really? I just make way for Lenny to really, you know, shine. So, yeah.
No, that's beautiful. Like relationships between like parents and their kids, kids and their parents, you know, singers and their moms is a beautiful thing. And like, it's bigging up the most powerful thing in the world. And that's like a mom.
We should have got your mom. We should have.
Yeah, we should have got your mom.
Yeah. Yeah, my mom. She would be like, nah, she's gonna try to burn me. Like, did you put lotion on them hands?
Table manners, that was a whirlwind of of energy and creativity. Jesse, and
his skin looked fabulous.
Well, Mum, I'm telling you, like, he looks after himself. Mum, did you feel like you got the Will I Am that you needed to get from the voice? And
I think he was just as charming as I thought he would be. I'd have liked a little more goss about the voice.
I found his American music industry stories fascinating. I think I didn't know that about Black Eyed Peas.
Anyway, Jess, now you know how to write a song.
Right, so I'm going to go in there tomorrow.
And repeat, I love my mum. Mum, mum, mum.
Done, 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 done. Thank you for listening to everyone who listened. I hope you found that as kind of interesting as we did. I hope everyone's okay. I hope everyone has learned how to write a hit song after that episode. He was 40 minutes late, but he made up for it with brilliant stories. So thank you, Will.i.am.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. The music you've heard on Table Manners is by Peter Duffy and Pete Fraser. Table Manners is produced by Alice Williams.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.